I love God's timeliness. We found this building this past week, and we were looking at possibly trying to purchase. And if we do purchase this building, God will have to provide. God will have to make the way. No doubt about that. And it will require us to believe on God, to trust God to provide, to do what God alone is able to do. And then this week I opened my Bible to see the next popular story for our series of popular stories. And the next popular story is the story of God calling Abraham to offer up Isaac. That's by God's arrangement. That's by God's arrangement. When God works all things together, He works all things together so that He leads you to a passage like this, at the same time that He's working something special in providence in your life. That grabs your attention. That makes you pay attention. This was Abraham's greatest trial. Abraham's greatest trial. And whatever God's pleased to do concerning this building, most likely it will be a trial for us. I'm on. And the main point of the passage is this: God will provide. God will provide. It will be a trial for us, just like it was a trial for Abraham. But the point of the passage is God will provide. God will see to it. If God's pleased for us to have this building, or if God's pleased for us not to have this building, either way, God will provide. The only thing for Abraham to do was to trust God, believe God. And the only thing for us to do is believe God. Either way, that's it. Believe God. Let's turn in our text, Genesis 22. Let me just read verse 7 and 8. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. I know Brother Robbie preached from this passage not too long ago. A very good message. And I preached from it not too long before he preached from it. And I think I've preached from it four or five times since we've been here. And I hope to preach from it many more times. This is a very, very special passage of Scripture. It's a very beautiful picture of Christ, and it teaches us much about faith and about the trying of our faith. The first thing I want to show you here is God shall try His child. God shall try His child. He says there in verse 1, It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said unto him, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. God was going to try his child. It says here, God did tempt Abraham. It means to try, to prove, to test. He tempted Abraham, tested Abraham, tried Abraham. Now, number one, God's going to try the fear of his child. He's going to try our fear of God, number one. Our reverence, our respect, our awe of God. That's what the fear of God means. He's going to try that. He's going to try that. Look down at Genesis 22:12. Look at verse 12. He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. For now I know that thou fearest God." See, God presents a trial to his child. And it's a trial which is beyond our understanding. We can't comprehend why God would put this before us. We can't comprehend what God's reasoning is or what's behind it, why God's doing it. We just can't comprehend that. God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering." This was the son God promised that Christ was going to come through. This is the son that God promised Christ would come through. And then when Christ came, he's the one that God promised all Abraham's true elect children were going to be blessed. And God's saying, "Now, you offer him up." You know, when you're a child under your father's care, there's a lot of times that your father gives you a command, tells you to do something, and you don't understand why he does it. You don't understand the reasoning behind it, the logic behind it. It just don't make sense to you. Why would he tell me to do that? But if you fear your father, if you reverence your father, if you respect your father, you'll do what he says without questioning him and back-talking him and all of those things, because you reverence him, you'll do what he says. And much more when you fear God. When you fear God, there's so many things God does that we don't understand it. And we can't comprehend why God would put this in our life or what have you. And there's a lot of things like that. But when you reverence God and you respect God, you don't question God, and you don't talk back to God. You submit to God and you obey God. Look here. He told Abraham to do this, and the scripture says, verse 3, "And Abraham arose up early in the morning, prepared everything he needed, and he went unto the place of which God had told him." That's fear. That's fear of God. That's reverencing God. That's respecting God. You see, God is wisdom, and he knows the end from the beginning. Whatever he does is right. And he's working all things together for the good of them that love God. And he's doing it on purpose. And so, when you have a true fear of God, you're gonna reverence God. You're going to respect God. And then secondly, God will try our love of God. He's going to try our fear, and he's going to try our love of God. God's a jealous God. Scripture says he will not share his glory with another. He won't share the glory that's due to him. He won't share the praise that's due to him. He will not share the affection from his child that's due unto him. He won't share that. He just won't share that. Our affection cannot be divided between our Lord and some other treasure. It can't be. He said this, "He that loveth father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. If a man can let his mother, his father, turn him from the gospel of Christ, not worship with his people, not assemble with his people, or his son or his daughter, because he loves them, he doesn't want to offend them, and he doesn't want them to cut him off from their love. If a mother, father, son or daughter can do that to somebody who claims to be a believer, they don't believe God. They don't believe God." You see, God gave Abraham Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's greatest possession. God promised this boy. He was the son of promise. He was a son of a miraculous birth.
And Abraham had to wait 25 years for this boy to come. And now this child is grown up. I mean, he's somewhere around 20 years old by now, most people agree. He's a grown boy, grown young man. And he's Abraham's pride and joy. Abraham loves him. He loves this boy, loves him dearly. And so God says to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of." By Abraham's work, now listen to me, by Abraham's work, and by work I mean by his obedience to God, by going and offering up his only son, Abraham proved that he loved his only son. But he loved God supremely. He loved God more than he loved that boy. That's what he showed. That's what he showed. Look down at verse 12 again. He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Do you see that? God gives us all kinds of treasures in this life. Gifts that he gives us, and they're treasures to us. We're thankful for them. We like these things. We hold on to them. Some of them we love dearly. But we ought to hold on to every one of them with a very loose hand, because God will provide. God will see to it that nothing steals our affection from him. He's going to see to it that nothing steals our heart from him. Nothing. All right, thirdly, he's going to try our fear of him. He's going to try our love of him. And thirdly, he's going to try our faith. He's going to try our faith. Isaac was the son through whom God promised that Christ would come. And then Christ was going to bless all his people. He's going to bless all his people in every nation. This is the son through whom he's coming. Wouldn't that make you put a little special value on Isaac? Wouldn't it? If you had the child, you know how we brag on our kids. If you had the child that God said, "I'm going to bring the Messiah through that child," you'd put a little special confidence in that child, wouldn't you? You see how folks put special confidence in Mary? Because Christ was born of Mary. But you see, Abraham is to believe God and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He not to believe on Isaac. Not to put confidence in Isaac. Isaac's just a vessel. He's just a sinner like you and me. So is Mary. And what better way to prove Abraham's faith in God's ability? What better way to prove Abraham's faith as being a man who trusted God's ability alone, what better way than to command Abraham to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering? Let's see if he's trusting in Isaac or if he's trusting in God who gave him. And so God said, offer him up. And the Scripture says this, Hebrews 11:17. Look there with me. Hebrews 11:17. Which one's Abraham going to believe? Believe God, or is he going to believe? Trust that this just... Now, I have to keep Isaac alive, because Isaac's the one that's going to bring this boy, this Messiah, and I got to keep him alive. I can't do this. Who's he believe, God, or he put confidence in Isaac? Look here. Hebrews 11:17 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." You see, he believed God rather than, even though God said, "This is the boy in whom thy seed shall be called," he believed God rather than looking to Isaac. And it says, verse 19, "And he did it accounting that God was able." God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see, by this work, by obeying God and offering up his only son Isaac, Abraham proved that his faith was not in word only, but his faith was real. He really did believe God. He really believed God. Now, you'll hear men talk about James chapter 2, and James 2:14 says this. Let me just read it to you. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Men will read that. There's a lot of other things he says there about a man being justified not by faith only, but by works also. And he speaks there about faith and works. And men will hear that. And what he's saying there, he's not saying that we're justified before God, before the law of God, by our works. Our works have nothing to do with our justification from our sin and our justification from the law. Our works have nothing whatsoever to do with that. What he's saying is a man is justified as truly being a believer by his obedience to God. A man's faith is justified as being the God-given gift that God's given him when he truly does what Abraham did here and believes God. That's when he proves that he really does believe God. But men will read that and hear that, and they'll go around boasting about their works of faith. Their works of faith, how they did this or how they did that. But when they speak about their works of faith are nothing like the illustrations that James gives. James there talks about a man, when he talks about that beggar coming to that house, we looked at it Thursday night. When he talks about a beggar coming there and needing a coat and a morsel of bread, he's talking about coming to a man, a believer, who only himself has one coat and one piece of bread and doesn't have money to get another one. He's not talking about him coming to a man that's got an abundance of coats and abundance of bread and plenty of money where he can get some more. What does that prove if he gives him a coat and a piece of bread? It'll prove nothing. He's not having to trust God. The man that's having to believe God when he gives a coat and a piece of bread is the man that won't have any left when he does it. That widow that came with the two mites, Christ said she's given more than everybody. How do you judge that? They gave thousands. How do you judge she gave more? You don't judge it by how much she gave. You judge it by how much she got left over. She didn't have anything left over. That's the one God says, now that one believes me. He's trusting me. And then he used Rahab as an example. You know what Rahab did? Rahab risked her life before a brutal king in Jericho by taking care of these spies and sending these spies out covertly so that they could get out and get back to Joshua and Joshua could come in and take over Jericho. She committed treason to her king is what she did to protect these spies for God because she believed God would protect her and she believed God would save her. She trusted God. Now that's a work of faith. And then he used Abraham as the example. And you see what Abraham's called to do. He's called to sacrifice his son. The son that God says, this is who the Messiah is coming through. This is the one through whom I'm going to send forth my son and save all my people all over the world. Now you go sacrifice him. You talk about having to believe God. That takes some faith in God now. You have to believe God to do that. You see, it's not a trial when you stump your toe. It's not a trial when a car breaks down. It's not a trial when you know, we got some clothes down in the basement that is just left over. We hadn't worn in 2 or 3 years, and we give them away. That's not a trial. No, no. A trial that God speaks about is when it's beyond our ability to have any comprehension or be able to reason this thing out whatsoever of what in the world is God doing. You just have to trust God because you fear God. You reverence Him enough to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you send will be right. It's a trial when it requires you to take sides with God over your most prized possession, whether it's a child or an inanimate object, or money, or whatever it is. When you take sides with God over that most prized possession, believing God will provide. Now that's a trial. It's a trial whenever it requires you to believe God's able to do what only God is able to do. The trial brings us to the point where we can't do anything else but believe God and trust God. That's the trial he's talking about. That's how a man's proven to believe God. That's how he's proven to believe God. All right, now, so first of all, God's going to try his child that way. He's going to do that. But now, secondly, God's going to give us just the right trial at just the right time. He's going to give us just the right trial at just the right time. Look at verse 1. It says, it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him after these things. Now, when God tests us in a trial, we don't have anything to boast about. We have nothing to boast of. Nothing whatsoever. Faith is the gift of God. God gives it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Scripture says. It's by God's grace. It's a free gift. And here's what God does. God first gives his child faith. God first gives his child faith that's needed for the particular trial. He gives him faith that's needed for the particular trial. And then he gives him the trial. And then he sustains his faith during the trial. And then he brings him through the trial. You see what I'm saying? The whole thing is of God. It's of God. God first provided that. They say Abraham had 10 trials. This is the 10th one. That's what the old Jewish writers say. He had 10 trials. Number one, God first provided Abraham faith. And then he told Abraham, believe God and leave Ur. Leave your father, your mother, all your companions, all your former idolatry, you leave that. Leave it all behind. But God gave him faith first. And then he called him out. In Hebrews 11:8, I can prove it to you. Hebrews 11:8 says, By faith, that gift of God, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. And God provided. God provided. It says several times in Scripture, God led him the old way. And then number two, but God first provided Abraham faith. He grew him in that faith that he had given him. He grew him in it so that he would behold his eternal home was in the heavens. He wasn't in the earth, he was in the heavens. Where God dwells, the foundation that God built, that house, that city God built. He gave him faith to behold that. And then God called him. Now you sojourn in this land. You know what a sojourner is? He's a sightseer. When you drive through some place and you're just sightseeing, you're just sojourning through that place. You're not going to stay there. He gave him faith to sojourn in that land. And then called him to just pass through it like a pilgrim. And the Scripture says this. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents. He didn't put down any stakes. Dwelling in tents. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm reading out of Hebrews 11. And God provided. God provided, just like he did in the beginning. And then God first provided Abraham faith. He built up his faith to face that trial with Abimelech down in Egypt when they went down there. To believe that God would deliver him and his wife Sarah out of the hand of that Egyptian king. He gave faith to believe that. And so when he went through that trial, guess what happened? He believed God and God provided. God first provided Abraham faith, built up his faith, so that when him and Lot got into that trial, Abraham could say, Let's don't have any strife between us, Lot. You take whatever of this property you want. Just imagine that. You imagine taking your property that you own and telling somebody that's having a quarrel, take anything you want. I'll just take whatever's left. That's what Abraham did. But he possessed a whole lot more than we possess. Take whatever you want. I'll take the rest. And you know what happened? God provided. God provided. God first provided Abraham faith to intercede for Lot when Lot was down there in Sodom, and God said, I'm about to destroy it. That was a trial for Abraham. That's his nephew. And that city's fishing be destroyed, wiped off the map the next day. Imagine if wherever your mother, father, son, or daughter lives, you got word it's fixed to be destroyed tomorrow. Wouldn't that be a trial for you? That was a trial for Abraham. And he believed God. God gave him the faith to believe God. And he interceded with God over that. And you know what happened? God provided. God provided. And you go on and on like that. He first provided faith to fight those kings who took over Sodom. He believed God. God provided. And then that king of Sodom, he came back and he wanted to enrich Abraham and give him all these treasures from Sodom. God gave him faith to say, I don't want any of your treasures. I'm not going to be enriched by the king of Sodom. You keep your treasures. I don't want them. And God provided. God provided. God gave him faith to repent from his vain works of trying to produce that promised child with Hagar. God gave him faith to repent from that. He showed him his folly and gave him faith to repent from that. And God provided. God gave him faith. God gave him that son later, just like he said he would. And then at last, God gave him faith so that when God told him, send Ishmael and Hagar away, Abraham loved that boy. That was Abraham's son, just like Isaac was. And he said, you take whatever's needed for them, bottle of water, put it on her shoulder, you send them away. And God said, I will provide for them. And Abraham believed God, and God provided. And now he brings him to this trial. Now, this greatest trial he ever faced. But look at here, verse 1. But it came to pass after these things. It came to pass after these things. See, I travel around and people ask me this question. They'll say, when are y'all going to be ready, prepared to get in a building? And I think what they mean is, when are you going to have your funds together, whatever. And this is my reply. We'll be ready when God provides the faith to trust that God will provide. That's when we'll be ready. To trust God will provide. He doesn't put you through the severe trials till He's given you faith for the severe trial. See what I'm saying? He does this just right as it should be done. Now get this too. Now this is so important. When God proves our faith, God is proving the faithfulness of the object of our faith. When God proves our faith, He's proving the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, who is the object of our faith. That's what He's proving. God's not proving that we have strength in ourselves. That's not what He's proving. And that's how people speak of these trials. Like when they get through, they speak of them like God, oh, I proved how strong I am in faith. Well, that's not what God's doing at all for His child. Because you don't have any strength in you, and I don't have any strength in me. Faith, our faith of itself has no strength. There's no strength in just saying, I believe God. The strength of faith is the God we believe. You understand what I'm saying? That you can't separate that. not true faith. You ever received really bad news? Have you ever received some really bad news? It takes all the strength you got away from you. I told y'all this wasn't even me, this was my father. But when they called me and told me he had cancer, I was sitting at a gate in the Houston airport and I sat there and missed my plane. It took my strength from me. I mean, I was so distracted by it, I missed my plane. You think about Abraham. You think about when that commandment came to Abraham to go offer up your son. Abraham's strength was gone. I'm talking about just his strength as a man. His strength was gone. You think he slept any that night? You think you get bad news, do you sleep? And the next day when he gets up, you think about how his heart must have been in his stomach when he was saddling his ass. You think about how weak his arms must have been when he was out there trying to chop wood that he knew he was going to use to burn his son on the altar. You think about when he was walking for 3 days. You think about how weak his legs must have been with every step he took. And you think about how he must have had to hide the tears from his eyes when he sat around that fire at night, every one of those nights, and he sat around that fire, and there that boy sits on the other side of that fire, not knowing where they're going or what they're doing, and only Abraham knows it. You think he had any strength? I guarantee you wasn't strutting around like a rooster going, "Oh, look at my faith." I guarantee you wasn't doing that. Where'd he get strength from? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. What does that mean? It means when God shuts me up to the point that all I can do is trust God, that's when I'm strong. When all I can do is cast my care on Christ and pray, "Lord, save me," that's when I'm strong. Because I'm trusting the one who is my strength. Do you get that? You understand that? That's when you're strong. Utterly weak in ourselves, but we're only strong in Him. And here's something else. That trial is to bring us to look only to Him and to rest only in Christ and put no confidence in ourselves. God proves to His child that God's ability to provide is greater than whatever our need is. When you're in a trial, God proves that His ability to provide is greater than whatever our need is. And remember this, He controls the need as well as the provision. God controls the need as well as the provision. The thing that makes the trial a trial is that God sees to it. God provides. And God sees to it that you have no way to reason your way out of it. You have no strength to bring yourself out of it. He works it so that all you can do is trust God. He controls the need. And then, by Him bringing you through it, after He's brought you just to trust Him, He shows you that His provision is always greater than our need. You see, that's where we got to be brought in this thing about concerning our sin and salvation. He's got to bring us to the point, showing us our sin, to where we see, I can't do anything. I can't give myself life. I can't make myself righteous. I can't make myself holy. I can't preserve myself. I'm helpless. That's when you won't have a choice but to believe on Christ. That's when you'll cast your care on Him. And that's where He has to bring us to. And then He shows us in Christ, who's all of these things that we need, that His provision is greater than our need. That's what He's doing in all these little trials. That's what He's doing in every one of them. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's got abundant more provision than we've got need. If He wanted to, He could give us so much need and just leave us to ourselves. But He's got more, way more riches than we got need. That's just so. That's where we have to be brought. So God tries His child, and God gives the trial just at the right time. He gives it when He's given the faith to believe Him. Brought us down to where we got nothing. We can do nothing. We can think nothing. But all we can do is cast our care on Him by His grace. When He brings you to that point, then He shows you how fully He can provide. And then thirdly, God gives the trial to give us a greater revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. so that he grows us in that fear and in that love and in that faith by Christ. That's what he's doing in every trial we face. You don't have a trial in life until that very first trial, which is to bring you to the feet of Christ, to save you out of your sins and bring you to him to believe him. That's when you have your first trial. That's the first trial of a believer's life, to bring us to repent from ourselves and cast all our care on him, to trust Christ to save us by himself alone. That's our first trial. And then from that day forward, every other trial we face in life after that is to teach us that same message we heard in that first trial. Is to teach us Christ alone is the one that's going to save us. Abraham's first trial was teaching him to believe on Christ and calling him out of Ur. Every trial after that was to call him to the feet of Christ, to behold Christ. That's what Christ said. He told those Pharisees, he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it, and he was glad. And in every one of those trials, Abraham was shown a little clearer revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he comes to this one, and God shows him a great revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ even speaks to him. Look here. How did God manifest his love to us? John said, "Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Now that's how God manifests his love toward his people. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. His only begotten Son, the Son of his love. That's who he sent into the world to lay down his life for his people. That's how God manifests how greatly he loved his people. Well, what better way to make Abraham see Christ's day and to see God's love than to call a father to offer his only son? What better way to make him see what God the Father did in giving his only son than to call this father Abraham to give his only son? What a good way to show him what Christ has done, to show him Christ's day. That's what this whole thing's about. Now, after our trials, what do we do? What do we do after our trials? We don't learn much from them while we're in them. But after they're over, we look back on them. And by God's grace, we begin to see God's hand in the trial. And we begin to learn what God was doing in that trial. Well, I'm just sure of this, that at the end of this trial, after Christ had revealed himself to Abraham, that Abraham looked back on this the rest of his days. And every time he looked on this, he could see a Christ day a little more clearly every time he looked at it. He could see something else about Christ's glory every time he looked at it. Don't you every time you look at it? I do every time I look at it. I see something new about Christ every time I look at it. He looked back and he remembered God saying to him there in verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest." And by faith, he saw God the Father giving his son, his only begotten son, whom God loved. He could see that by faith. Christ said he saw my day. I take that to mean he saw what God the Father did. And then look, when Abraham remembered back on this trial and he thought about how he made all those preparations there in verse 3. He rose up early in the morning. Probably before anybody else was awake. Abraham's out there getting everything together. "Well, no point of laying in bed any longer. I'm not going to get any sleep. Might as well get up." Saddled his ass. Said there, he took two of his young men with him. Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. Abraham looked back on that, thought about that, and he said, "You know, that's just what God my Father did for me. In eternity, before anybody was awake to grace or knew anything about it, God my Father made every preparation there was to be made, predestinating his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. He did all the work back there before we ever knew anything about it." Abraham thinks back on this trial and he thinks about verse 4. "On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw that place afar off." Perhaps God revealed to him, "Abraham, that's the very mountain on which I sacrificed my son. Abraham saw it by faith. Abraham thought back on that trial, verse 6. He thought about when he took that wood of that burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took that fire in his hand and he took that knife and they went both of them together. And by faith, our Lord showed Abraham, Abraham, do you see that though wicked hands are going to slay my son on that cross, it's me who laid that cross on my son's shoulders. It's God who took the fire of His wrath and His justice. And He burned His son with that fire of His justice to satisfy justice for His people. Do you see it's God that did that? It's God that went up there. God the Father went with Christ His Son, just like Abraham and Isaac went together up that mountain. God our Father and Christ His Son went together to Calvary, together to the cross. God was in Christ reconciling His people unto Himself. Abraham thought back and he remembered the words that he spoke to Abraham in verse 8. My son, God will provide Himself a lamb. God will provide Himself a lamb. And by faith, as God taught him, he could see God in His Son. God, the triune God, the fullness of the Godhead in that body, in Christ the Lord. And he could see God providing Himself. God providing Himself to be the lamb, to lay down His life in the place of His people. Abraham could think back to verse 13. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took that ram and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And by faith, Abraham could look down through the ages and he could see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, caught in a thicket. He could see him there with that crown of thorns around his head. And he could see God taking him, giving him, and offering him up as a burnt offering in the room instead of Abraham's son, in the room instead of Abraham, in the room instead of all his people. That substitution. These are things God taught Abraham by this trial. And then look here at the end of that trial. At the end of the trial, he could remember this. I bet you Abraham never forgot this. I guarantee you he never forgot this. Faith, capital F, faith, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, faith spoke to Abraham's faith. Look here. From faith to faith, verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. That's who's talking to him. Christ, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, Christ. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith, there's God, the Lord, Jehovah. This is God speaking through Christ to Abraham, into his heart, from faith to faith, speaking to him. He said, because thou hast done this thing. What did he do? He feared God, he loved God supremely, and he believed God. That's what he did. And he did something else. And has not withheld thy son, thine only son. That means he obeyed him. He feared him. He loved him supremely. He believed him. He proved it by obeying him. He gave his son. And look this. He said, and because you did that, in blessing, I'll bless thee. In multiplying, I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Didn't Christ already know he feared God? Of course he did. He gave him the fear. Didn't he know he already loved God? He put the love in his heart. Didn't he know that he believed God? He gave him the faith to believe. Of course he did. course he knew that. He knew it. But now, when he spoke to Abraham, into Abraham's heart, would you just think about this? Think about what happened there. The Spirit bore witness with Abraham's spirit that he was indeed a child of God. You know what Paul said over there in Romans 8? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit bore witness in his heart of that. This was assurance to Abraham. You ever doubt that you're a believer? You ever doubt you're a believer? Let me tell you the surest way you'll find out if you're one or not. When God brings you into a trial where all you can do is trust Him. And He's given you the faith to trust Him. He sustains that faith to trust Him. He brings you out of that trial, shows you Christ more clearly through that trial, and bears witness in your heart, "You're my child." That's when you'll have assurance. I'm His. I'm His. That's what God did to Abraham. That's what He did to Abraham right here. That's how our doubts are removed, brethren. That's how Christ grows us in reverence for God. He had it, but He grew him in it. Reverence. Fear. That's how he had love for God. That's how God grows us in love for Him. A clearer revelation of Christ in this great trial. He had faith in God. That's how God grows us in faith in Him. This is the book learning, what we're doing here today. He's teaching you the book learning. When do you learn not to walk on stickers when you're barefooted? When you walk on stickers. This is the book learning. Then God's going to bring you into the trial and teach it to you by experience. He's going to give you the sense then, the true sense of it, to know this is not just a theory. It's not just a tale that's told. We don't just come in here and hear a good story and then go out and it has nothing to do with our life. God makes sure for His child it has everything to do with everything about you. Because this is your life. Christ is your life. And He's going to make you see that. And that's how He's going to grow you. And I know He grew Abraham like this. You know how I know? Look down there at verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. How do you know he saw Christ far off and he saw all that stuff that you just said that he saw that in this and all this? How do you know he saw all that? Look at what he said. This is what Jehovah Jireh means. In the mount of the Lord. In that mount on Calvary. It shall be seen. Everything that just happened here today, Abraham saying, everything that took place here with me offering my son, in the mount of the Lord, it shall all be seen. When Christ gives His Son, it'll all be seen. Abraham saw it. He saw it. He saw Christ's day. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will provide. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will see to it. Jehovah Jireh, many years later, in that mount of the Lord, Jehovah Jesus saw to it. He did what Abraham said he was going to do. God offered his only son, and he didn't spare him. And he offered him in the room instead of his people. And he purged the sins of his people. Abraham saw that. He saw that. Wouldn't have seen it if he hadn't went through that trial, though. He had to go through that trial to see it. That's why God gives the trial. He brings us to behold Christ has provided everything for us. He gives us faith to believe Him. He gives us more clear revelation that He's preserving us by His grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And He grows us to trust more and more that our security is not us, brethren. Our security is Christ. It's for the sake of Christ that God is preserving us. That's what He makes you to see through these trials. That's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of trials. Count it joy. Count it joy. Well, my father's got cancer. Count it joy. God's going to show you something. God's going to show you a clear revelation of His Son and show you how your security is in Him. Count it joy. I lost my mother. I lost my father. Count it joy. count it joy. God's going to show you the revelation of His Son. And if I'm without that chastisement, I don't know Him. He said that. But He's going to do this to His child. Show you that. And this is what He's going to show you. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. You don't have to wring your hands and worry and fret and walk the floor and all that stuff when you know God will provide. God will provide. Amen.